The wheel of time turns, and ages come and pass, leaving memories that become legend. Legend fades to myth, and even myth is long forgotten when the age that gave it birth comes again. In one age, called the Third Age by some, an age yet to come, an age long past, a married couple decided to start a podcast.
This is Shade of My Heart, a Wheel of Time podcast. I'm Josh, and this is my wife, Kat. This week, we're going to be talking a little bit about the philosophy and theology of the Wheel of Time. It's a very interesting world that Robert Jordan has created, and he borrowed from various religions and worldviews to do it. And so we're going to be looking at some of those themes.
So I was thinking that maybe we could start off by saying, you know, what is the Wheel of Time? What does that even mean? So Josh, you want to give us a rundown? What is the Wheel of Time?
Yeah, so the Wheel of Time is really based on the philosophy that time is cyclical. Mm-hmm. And the Wheel of Time is that cycle of time. And the turnings of the wheel are thousands of years. So long, in fact, it says that when the age when the same age comes again, they don't even remember the first time that it happened. But the wheel has these patterns that it forms, and they talk about the age lace and all the lives of the people and all of the things that they do form this age lace that's so complex. And the weave of the wheel is this thing that it's fatalism. They don't really have free will. They know that it's all happening the way it's supposed to. And so the Aes Sedai, at least in the books, well, I don't know if they'll do this in the show, but they'll often say things like,
The wheel weaves as the wheel wills.
Aes Sedai say that a lot.
Yeah.
And it kind of bugs the main characters at first because they're like, ah, what kind of answer is that? But they end up adopting that worldview for themselves. And by the later part of the series, all of the characters have kind of this love-hate relationship with the fatalism of the Wheel of Time belief that there are no accidents, there are no chance encounters, they're just weavings of the wheel.
Yeah, and they talk about every life being a thread, that you're a thread in that pattern that the wheel is weaving.
Yeah, that's a pretty big aspect of the show. So the picture that you get in your head is this really complicated like tapestry that's being woven, and that's the kind of language that they use. Actually, now that we're talking about it, weaving is a big theme in the show.
Yeah.
So
they weave the one power.
Yeah.
Talk about weaving the one power.
Now I'm curious if Robert Jordan has some sort of tapestry background or something.
I don't know. Yeah, that's interesting. That's interesting. I never really thought about that, how the weaves of the one power and the weaving of the wheel. So one thing that I was going to say, there's a character that you meet early on, and his name is Loyal. And he talks about how each thread is, you know, a person's life, and there are different decisions that you can make to go your own way that, like, won't change the weave or won't make it too bad. So, you know, if you make a decision, you live on this farm, you're born on this farm, you make a decision to raise sheep, or you make a decision to raise cows, that's not going to change the pattern. So the wheel allows you to make those choices. But you want to run off and be a king, the wheel will not allow that weaving. And so he talks about that a little bit. You know, as far as, like Josh was saying, you don't have free will, really. And that's kind of what Loyal is explaining.
Yeah, and it's interesting. Later on, you'll see some of the characters trying to go against the weavings of the wheel. They try to run away and kind of escape destiny, and it just never works.
And they'll be like, I feel like I'm being pulled. I can tell that I'm being pulled to whatever.
Yeah. But it should be it should also be understood that the world of the Wheel of Time is not theistic. There is only one creator, but he is not involved in the world.
Right. He like created the world, he created the wheel, and then he was like, okay, have fun.
Yeah.
For the most part. But they do sort of, they'll call on the creator.
Yes.
They'll call on the light.
So, they'll talk about sheltering in the creator's hand in their prayer sometimes. And they'll pray to the light. Oh, light, help me. That sort of thing. So it's an interesting, I don't know that it's entirely consistent. Because sometimes they talk about the creator as if he doesn't care. He doesn't answer prayer. He just kind of made a world and moved on. And so it's deism, which is a belief that's very much alive and well in our own world. It's a view that has been had by many people who believe in a creator that is simply uninvolved in what's happening. And yet, in the world of the Wheel of Time, you do have these hints that maybe he's not as
distant
and detached as some characters think that he is. There's a bit of an open question, I suppose, in their philosophy and theology about that.
Really, I think I kind of like that because it's something that people can relate to. People are confused about religion and often even their own religion. Or, you know, you get people that say, okay, I believe in a God, but don't, you know, really study it or really think about it a lot. And so they're not sure. And they might say, there is no God, but then on the next, you know, turn, they'll go, oh, God, help me with this test or whatever, you know, they'll, so maybe they just aren't sure whether or not they actually believe it or they're not solid on their own theology, I guess.
And it's really interesting to me that there's no culture, no character that we meet that is an atheist.
Oh, that is interesting.
Not even dark friends.
Right, because they're pledged to the dark one.
Yeah.
So they know that there's some light.
Yeah. They all, nobody doubts the existence of the creator.
Yeah. Well, and they call the dark one the great lord.
Yes.
Great lord of the dark.
Yeah. So the dark friends really have their own reasons for swearing to the dark one. Some of them, they do it out of pure selfishness, that they believe that the dark one will grant them great rewards if they serve faithfully when he breaks free, and they assume that he will break free eventually, and then he'll remake the world in his image, and those who served him faithfully will be rewarded.
They'll get like high places of honor, kings, queens, whatever.
Yeah, so a lot of dark friends swear for that. It talks about some dark friends just swearing because they kind of like some mischief. They like being part of bad things, and it's fun for them. But some really take a nihilistic view that's very dark, where they go, well, the light will be defeated eventually,
so I might as well join the dark.
As well join the dark. And one character who's like the darkest of the dark friends wants oblivion. He wants there to be nothing. He wants to be free of the cycle, free of the cycle of reincarnation without end. And so he wants the dark one not only to break free, but to break the wheel and to bring an end to time itself.
Yeah.
Which is super dark.
Yeah, so like, makes me feel creepy. We're recording this at night and I'm like, ah. I don't know. It's weird.
But he's a bad guy.
Yeah.
So the world is a very interesting place. They swear by the light and by light adjacent things.
And their hope of reincarnation.
Yep. Yeah, they swear by their hope of reincarnation.
Yeah.
That's like the strongest oath you can take. That you swear under the light and by your hope of salvation and rebirth. Now, they don't believe in reincarnation as, say, Hindus do, in that your soul can be reborn as like an animal. In the Wheel of Time, you're always reborn as a person, a different version of yourself. And that person doesn't necessarily look the same, but it is you.
Yeah.
But you don't remember your past lives except in special cases.
Yeah.
And those special cases are a big theme in the show.
Mm-hmm.
So we won't go too much into that.
Well, this actually brings up a really good point that I wanted to mention. So as we, you know, Josh and I, we've talked about before that we've read the book / listened to the books several times. And so we are, you know, thinking that we know what to expect. However, in watching the trailers, there are already differences, which of course there are going to be differences for a book adaptation to a television show. But one thing that we were talking about, we don't want to be disappointed in some of our favorite things. And so we have talked about how the TV show, we're looking at it as a different turning of the wheel, that anything that's different, we're not going to get mad at. And we're going to try to take it in stride of, okay, this is a different turning of the wheel. You know, if Moraine is making different decisions or if things happen in a different order, you know, the showrunners have to maybe do that for the show to run the way they want it to. And we can look at it and say it's a different turning, which is kind of great because going into it, we can kind of lose some of our expectations. I think there are certain parts of the show that if they change from the book series, we will be like, that is not something that should change. But it's like full circle. It's like the weaving of the pattern. Certain threads can change without bothering me, and that'll be fine. But if they try to go too far off track, the wheel will not allow it.
Yes. And the fan base will riot. Yeah, you know, I'm a longtime book reader of various series that have been made into books. And
you mean movies?
Yep. That's exactly what I mean. And sometimes there's this book reader snobbery that can play in where you go, oh, they didn't really do that character right, and they didn't follow this story beat. And I fall prey to that as much as anyone else, for sure. But I've come to a place where I recognize that it's a different medium.
Yeah.
And sometimes you have to just do it differently. Sometimes it does feel disrespectful, honestly, the way that some adaptations go in movies or books. But it seems to me that Rafe Judkins and the other showrunners and actors have a respect for the source material. They've at least read the source material.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Rafe was a big fan already.
Yeah, so it does not seem like they're doing just a read through the books, you know, and just shooting it. But it does seem like they're at least trying to stay somewhat close to the characterization in the world. So I'm really interested to see how they portray the philosophical, theological underpinnings mm-hmm. of the show.
Definitely.
It's also funny and true to life that some characters seem like they do not care at all about philosophy and theology. And mm-hmm. anytime somebody starts talking like that, you can almost hear them groan and their eyes roll back in their head.
Yeah.
And then other characters are like always talking about it.
It's their North Star.
It's their North Star. It's the guiding light of their life that mm-hmm. Moraine's actually like that. Moraine's definitely one of these people that believes in destiny, and it's her destiny to find the Dragon Reborn and to fight against the Dark One, and this is her battle.
And she says something in the beginning of, like, the Dark One wants this thing, and whatever the Dark One wants, I oppose.
Yeah. Or
I guess she opposes the Dark One. Whatever the Dark One wants, I have to get in the way. I can't let it happen. I completely butchered that, but you get what I'm trying to say.
You get the idea. And that's a big part of her character, that she's very driven. Mm-hmm. She's got a goal. I really admire that about her.
Justice is a big thing for her, that the right thing needs to come out. We very briefly touched on the Ajahs last time in our first episode. There are 7 Ajahs by color. Moraine is in the blue Ajah, and they have a cause to fight for. They're the ones that are fighting for justice and causes.
Yeah. It seems that in the show, they're color coordinating the Ajah, so the different Ajahs all wear that color all the time. In the books, it's not like that.
But I think it makes sense.
It's fine. I really don't mind. For the viewer, it'll be a lot easier to keep straight who's in what Aja if they're always wearing, she's in the yellow because she's wearing a yellow dress. She's in the red. She's wearing a red dress, so on. So that'll be easier to keep straight. So I don't mind that.
Yeah. Well, and I guess to kind of put a lid on it, this book series is 14 books long. Every book has something like 600 plus pages, right?
Oh, at least.
So it's like whatever happens, the wheel weaves as the wheel wills. And we're not going to get every page of the book on the screen. But like we said earlier, I'm so excited to see it and to see what they do with it. And honestly, I'm even excited to see some of the changes and the ways that other people are envisioning it come to life.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been happy with everything that I've seen for the most part. Like the casting, I like the casting and the costumes and the locations and that sort of thing all looks solid. So the show's about to come out next week, right?
November 19th.
November 19th. Amazon Prime. Oh, I guess that's 2 weeks.
Yeah, so we'll have one more episode before the TV show actually airs. So please let us know if you have anything that you want to know before you actually see the TV show. Our email address is in the show notes. So you can write us, find us on Facebook, Shade of My Heart Podcast, Wheel of Time Podcast. You can find us on Instagram. I just started that. It's shade_of_my_heart. Or just drop us a note. Let us know what you want to hear about.
Until next time.
May you always find water and shade.